the Around the NFL podcast has plenty of cap room to work with.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What is up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
All right. Tuesday show.
Long layoff. That literally is the longest between shows we'll have all year, I would suspect. A solid five days.
Yeah. Thank you to everyone that, you know, came back. Maybe we lost thousands of listeners. They unsubscribed. Said these guys, they don't bring the stuff on the regular anymore. I'm moving on.
Well, rightly so.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the people that are here for soldiering through it. I mean, I know it was tough.
Yeah, it was tough. But you know, now we're all back together. And we're all wearing nice dress shirts because we were on, once again, the taping for Up to the Minute, the NFL Network program that you could watch. We'll be on twice this week. So set your DVR. Set that DVR twice this week.
Thursday and Friday.
The shirt that I wore, I, at 6 a.m., just pulled out of a dryer and could not have been more wrinkled and thankfully just, you know, flattened itself out during the day. That's what you got to do with a wrinkled shirt. Just take it through the day.
By the way, Greg, you are really starting to cross over now. You actually showed up on the scroll over at the mothership in Bristol, ESPN, off one of your writings at NFL.com. They do refer to you, though, in the scroll on this program.
It wasn't a scroll. Yeah, like the bottom
the graphic,
third.
The
yeah.
graphic,
He wants to clarify.
Yeah, to clarify. You were referred to as NFL.com's Greg Rosenthal, and I'm sure that was a hit to both your ego and a contract violation had it happened at NFL.
No. Hey, we not the NFL Network's Greg Rosenthal. I have this.
Sydney was like, someone sent this in. I don't understand really what they're saying. Should we use it? I said, absolutely.
I love it.
I have no idea what they're saying either, but I heard Greg Rosenthal in there. And green light. And everybody, send in your submissions for NFL Network's Greg Rosenthal.
Yeah, I mean, I consider not even showing up for this podcast today because once, you know, Stephen A. Smith uses your column as a jumping off point for meaningless debate, somehow more meaningless than my dart throwing, which was that column, you know, picking fits for the right team. You know, there's nowhere to go in the day. There's nowhere to go in your career but
no,
down.
You did it, Greg.
I think it comes as no surprise that the mothership would pick that article of all articles as a jumping off point. That's just fitting.
I should say that that drop came from Jamie Andrew in Glasgow. Hit him up at @the_magictorch if you want to, you know, figure out what he's saying in those last three words. We'd all love to know.
So you got a plug out of it, and you got on the podcast, Jamie, flying high. Not higher than Greg, though.
Dan, well, I'm not really flying high. You seem almost resentful about the amount of love Jamie's getting right now. Like it's a threat.
I wouldn't say that. I was one that requested people send in submissions, so this is totally erroneous.
You did the legwork to get it on the show.
Yeah, and now Greg is trying to turn it into some type of narrative. Can't let it happen. Behind the glass today, by the way, besides the great First Lady, is Kevin Danger, Hansis, brother of the old Zeuser, in California for the week. He's done heroic work. We have eaten omelets together. We drank a lot of tequila, and this morning, as recently as this morning, we're listening to a lot of Madonna deep cuts.
And drinking more.
So the brothers alcohol. Do. You do some weird stuff. You just go down different roads.
Playing laser tag with the children.
Played some laser tag over the weekend with the kids in the backyard of Hansis Manor.
I knew you guys were up to something when I was getting late night screen grabs of various songs you were listening to with no context or messaging. Just the shot of the song is that he and Danger they're up to no good. I like it.
Lying high. So Kevin Danger behind the glass. All right. Today's show, good one. Sponsored, of course, by Mr. Flame and his economics class in The Hague, the Netherlands. Mr. F. A lot of news to get to, including some rough news from New York Jets land as I continue to make that charge toward Mark Sessler's corner as most tortured fan.
You aren't even within 10,000 miles. That is in of all the narratives.
This has not been thought out well by you, Dan. This plan of attack against Mark's Corner.
Well, sometimes even if you know you're going to lose the war, it's just fun to get into a few battles.
Well, this one is beyond absurd.
Ill-advised.
It depends how you define it.
Oh, no, here we go.
Because if you were defining it, which roster would you rather have? Chris Wessling, which roster would you rather have?
I am on Mark's side on this. I refuse to entertain this notion that Dan is suffering more than Mark in his fandom.
Yeah, I mean, Greg.
Well, let's talk about it when Jimmy Garoppolo and
then we'll talk.
Josh Gordon,
I would take the
Pryor
I would,
are the most
we'll
explosive
talk.
Triplets in the league.
West, like a true politician, didn't answer the question because he knows he would take the Browns.
It's not about what's happening this instant.
That's all
it's
I
about,
care about
the journey of what's happened. Don't even come at me with anyone.
I'm looking down the road when you have a quarterback and a 9-win season, and I'm sitting on 2-14 with Bryce Petty and Christian Heppel.
I would gladly hand you the corner real estate.
Is real?
I don't want to be on the corner.
Well,
you think I want to be on the corner?
I don't know. It sounds like you want something.
So
narrative street corner.
We'll talk. We'll talk some news, including a prominent New York Jet having trouble with the law. We will also, Greg, you were referring to the column that you wrote connecting players to teams and free agency. So we're going to go around the horn and all. Pick one player and one team and recklessly comment and speculate on why that could be a good match in free agency, which is coming up, Greg. When is free agency?
March 9th is when the new league year starts, but they can start tampering a little bit the 2 days before that.
There you go. And we can talk a little Tony Romo, which everybody loves to talk Romo to kill time on the major networks during this time of year. But we are going to do it today, but in a nuanced, smart way. No pie-in-the-sky analysis. We're not looking for the cheap clicks, if you will. This is really where Tony Romo will end up. What makes sense? Wes.
I mixed a cupcake and a brownie. I'm calling it a crownie. Mm.
I think the listeners will be the judge of whether it's smart and nuanced.
Okay.
Thank you, by the way, for the cupcakes at Hansus Manor. Wes and I were there on our birthday.
That's a shout-out.
Shared birthday, yeah.
I'll shout-out to the women of the house. Get the credit for that because they found out it was both of your birthdays and nothing had been prepared. And they're like, well, you can't do that, so you got cupcakes. And away we go.
Wow. It was delicious.
This is totally how I figured it went. I did not think that Dan decided to whip up some cupcakes for Greg and I. I thought, okay, Emily heard that it was our birthday, and because she's a nice woman, she said, let's get these guys a little attention on their birthday.
I like the fact that you have multiple women at your house. As far as I knew, you had two sons and a wife, so this is news to everyone in the room.
All right, so that is today. Well, yeah, we'll just leave that there. That is what's going on today, and before we get going, we got to say hi. Yes, officially say hello to the First Lady of the Around the NFL podcast, New Money.
Guys, I got a new theme song.
So we wanted to use When You Wish Upon a Star, which is an iconic Disney song. But the SLFs, Shadowy League Figures, don't let us use any music that is copyright now. There's no wiggle room. So, Sydney, what did you do? How did you improvise here?
So this is actually a song from a Russian ballet, which they use in the movie and wrote lyrics to this song, which is now public domain.
What movie?
Sleeping Beauty.
Yes.
Nice workaround.
Yeah. Right. It's all public domain. It's in our music library, so.
Deal with it, Shadowy League Figures.
They're trying to take the music away from the show, and that's that. You cannot do that forever.
All right. Sid, let's do some news. Now, didn't we... That was the one that Greg privately prepared with you, and it sounded like a car crash. Didn't we want to have the one that sounded like an actual jet crashing?
Oh, does that exist?
I thought it did. I mean, doesn't that sound
from a vehicle angle, that would make more sense.
Unless the jet landed safely and then got into a car accident.
I remember that being the drop, the one that Sydney just played, and then you having the same criticism last time.
All right. Who knows what's happening?
We're just repeating ourselves.
Yeah. All right. We'll start, of course, with the New York Jets and cornerback Darrelle Revis, one of the most decorated, greatest players in franchise history, who's coming off a terrible season, and now He has his low point off the field in his NFL career. Revis, 31, turned himself into authorities on Friday, a day after he was charged with four felonies and a misdemeanor, Marron, stemming from his alleged involvement in a physical altercation in Pittsburgh on February 12th. This is, if you're following this case along, it's a little bit of a strange case because apparently he was approached outside a bar late at night by someone who was using their camera phone to get some video. Revis
Antonio Brown.
Revis allegedly threw the phone, and then at some point it turned into a scuffle with Revis and maybe someone else, and two guys ending up out cold, knocked out. Lights out. It's like Wes outside Huckapoo's in 2007. Lights out.
I wouldn't go that far.
And of course, so the police, only Revis has been charged, but of course his side is saying he had nothing to do with knocking these two gentlemen out. But it complicates the situation here for the Jets, who are already in a place where they weren't sure if they wanted to bring Revis back, if they can cut him and eat a $6 million cap charge this year, or rework his contract, which is way, way, way bloated compared to now his ability as a player. But now to me, Greg Rosenthal, it feels like if the Jets were kind of, you know, hanging on which way to go, this might be, you know, it's time to a clean break from Mr. Revis, and we might even save $6 million out of it, and that's the next part of the story.
It's a sad way for Revis's career with the Jets to end, but I think it was ending anyways. Even though that they have to pay him guaranteed money, they can save $7+ million in cap room by cutting him. So I don't think he had virtually any chance to return to the team anyways. If anything, this makes it more complicated that, you know, the court date's not till March 15th, but I don't think they need to worry about it. I do expect them to be an ex-Jet sooner than later.
If you would have told me or any other Jets fan, let's say 5 years ago, that in 5 years, Darrelle Revis will win a Super Bowl, but it will be with the Patriots, and he will be arrested on multiple felony charges, and he's never had any trouble with the law in his time with the Jets. So you never kind of would connect him to something like this. And again, we don't know if he actually had a real role in this or he just got caught in the wrong place at the wrong time. We don't know. But the fact that those two things have happened, and it's like a classic Jets thing. They brought him back and they paid out the nose to do it. And it's been nothing but aggravation for the most part. And I believe they should get out now because, Wes, ultimately the Jets are in a rebuild. So even if you restructured his salary and made him a safety and all that stuff, the Jets aren't going to win a Super Bowl in the next couple of years, and he's at an age now where he'll be out of football most likely within a couple of years. It just doesn't make any sense.
I agree with you totally. I don't think there's anything about Revis and the Jets that makes sense as a team right now. He was scapegoated last year. Well, he played poorly enough that a lot of the problems got blamed on him, but the Jets have the least amount of salary cap room in the NFL right now.
It's a mess.
They are in full-blown rebuild, and to jettison a guy like Revis makes a lot of sense.
Well, and also, I don't know if he was scapegoated, and I wouldn't say that entirely, because the way that he conducted himself in terms of his comments to the press was exactly the opposite of what the Jets were hoping to bring back in the whole the whole idea of Revis crumbled, I think, last season. You got to cut ties with this guy.
The past year has been completely out of character with who he was from 2007 until he left for the first time in 2012. And even last year when he had a decent to good season, but maybe a little disappointing. But he didn't handle himself well with the press. He didn't play well. And now this happens. I mean, it's just hard to make sense of.
Well, you're one of the greatest players of your era, and your play declines, and you're in the spotlight of New York. You might not react to it too well. You know, at this signing never made sense to me other than for sentimental reasons. And you called me probably a Stinky Davis at the time of the signing for saying that because you were big on it. Jets fans are big on it. Bring him back. We're getting him back from the Patriots. And when this happens and you make moves where you pay a guy quarterback money at 29 years old for sentimental reasons, you're hoping maybe we get one or two good years. They ended up getting one. They got a second disaster year, and now they're going to eat money for it.
Here's the one. My one counter to that: it did not work out. But at one point last year, they were 10-5, and they had beaten the Patriots the week
before. But that's not the goal. And the goal is to not be like a lousy 10-6 team.
They were one of the hottest teams in the league with Revis on the team. They were going for – they were trying to rebuild and make a push at the same time, which didn't work out. But they were in position with Revis to make a run potentially, and then it crumbled.
But now you're a team where the coach and the GM are one of the offseason candidates to be out of there by week 8 if things don't go very well. So they have to handle this situation in a pristine manner from here on out.
Yes.
Does Revis need one or two more years to make the Hall of Fame, or do you think he's already in?
No, not at the level he's playing right now.
I'm surprised. I think he already punched his ticket.
I think he's
in. Years ago.
I think he's in. You know, I have given up on predicting how Hall of Fame voters will vote, but he was the best defense. I think probably the best cornerback I've seen outside.
Deion
Sanders in his prime.
Wouldn't it be better to get out now if he believes that his play has declined, which he mentioned in so many words to some degree last year, than to have two more fading seasons?
But you forget about
two
that
more
stuff.
Four first team All Pros. That's more than this entire class of Hall of Famers this recent one had, except for Kenny Easley.
And all his colleagues view him as the best of his generation. So I think that, like, Deion Sanders was 37 years old with the Ravens, and nobody thinks about that. You think about the glory years. Let's move on. The Jacksonville Jaguars and Miami Dolphins doing business together this week. First, Julius Thomas, the tight end, the Jags signed to a huge deal 2 years ago. Did not work out at all. So they move Thomas to the Dolphins in exchange for a 7th-round pick. Someone will have to make sense of this to me because it was confusing to me. And in a separate deal, the Jaguars send Brandon Albert, another big free agent signing from a couple years ago who hasn't quite worked out. The Dolphins send Brandon Albert, another free agent signing that hasn't quite worked out, to the Jaguars in exchange for a 7th-round pick. Let's start there, Wes. Why didn't they just make this a single trade? Why are they making it complicated for the old Zeuser?
I'm guessing just because of contracts and what would have to work on that level, but I don't know why they did that to you, Dan.
What are our thoughts about this trade, Mark? Julius Thomas, to me, looked nothing like the guy that was dominant in Denver for a couple of years. He looks slow and old, which doesn't translate to me to being a game changer, but maybe it turns back the clock a little bit in Miami.
When he signed with the Jaguars for a lot of money, he definitely was on our radar in those old shows about picking potentially perilous free agent deals. And he was for the money and for what he was coming out of that offense in Denver to go to Jacksonville with what the lack of they had there. It was a disaster, but I like the idea of pairing him again with Adam Gase. Adam Gase knows, A, what kind of practice player he was under Adam Gase in Denver and what his potential is and how he can be used in Adam Gase's offense. So I like the landing spot there better than him signing with some other team, with a team that has no idea what he'd be like in the building. So it's a chance to revive your career.
I don't think we know who he is right now. When he got to Jacksonville, the beat writers spent that whole offseason and summer before he ruptured a tendon in his finger saying he was the best player on the field in all their practices. And then he came back from the hand injury in October and he had no chemistry with Blake Bortles whatsoever, and he looked overweight. So that ruined his first year in Jacksonville. His second year, he has multiple injuries and ends with a fractured tailbone and is even worse in that year. So it's been injuries and no chemistry with Blake Bortles.
But durability is a skill. That's the reason why some people were worried about him as a free agent. He wasn't very good in his last year in Denver, which he was also hurt for. So he hasn't really been healthy much his whole career. He's never played more than 14 games. That was his one breakout year. He played 14.
That was 2013 when the Broncos broke all those records. And the 2 years before that, he missed due to ankle injuries too.
That said, for 1 year, and I would say this is true on both sides of the deal, you're not paying the signing bonus. You're not paying tons of guaranteed money. Why not? Brandon Albert, you know, I would not group him with Julius Thomas as a bad free agent signing. He was a great free agent signing. He gave 2 years of top-level left tackle play, or at least 1 year, and then an okay year. And then last year he was hurt. He played through an injury. Wasn't great. They have to pay him $8 million. You know, so what? They got $60 million in cap room. They don't have to pay him anything. It's worth a shot. They
need flipping it. Like low-level draft picks. You look at who's picked in the 7th round in the NFL draft. I would take a chance on Julius Thomas in Adam Gase's scheme over whatever you're going to get in the seventh round.
But it is a reminder that the Miami is in this cycle. Like, who is Julius Thomas replacing? Jordan Cameron, who was another, let's take a shot on a guy the other team doesn't really want in the middle of his career for different reasons, you know, but just taking a gamble on a free agent, that one didn't pan out. Let's replace him with another.
Yeah.
Some other Dolphins news to hit. News from both teams, actually. The Dolphins signed Cameron Wake to a two-year contract. So Wake, who came to the NFL later in his career, is getting another contract now because he continues to play at a really high level. He had 11.5 sacks in the 2016 season and has 81.5 in his eight-year career. And I could tell you, I'm use a little math, it's just over 10 sacks per season
on average. Well done. And
how you like that?
Cameron Wake, it's amazing what he did coming off of a ruptured Achilles. He was phenomenal last year, playing as well as ever. He's astounding that that age hasn't mowed him down yet.
Well, this was, you know, and we're going to talk about it on our hit on Up to the Minute on Thursday about the Dolphins spending that, you know, one of the reports this week, Ian Rapoport said, you know, get ready for them to spend a lot. This was the deal that told me, okay, they're clearing the decks because this is an accounting move. This is just pushing money into the future to lower Cameron Wake's number, give him a little extra guarantee in 2018, reward him, and like, hey, let's clear some money so we can go spend it again. Tannenbaum time. They did it last year too. He got an extension last year.
With all due respect to Rap Sheet, it would be news if the Dolphins were not preparing to make a big splash in free agency.
Speaking of clearing the decks and also age mowing people down, the Dolphins are saying goodbye to Mario Williams on Thursday. The team released the veteran defensive end on Thursday, also parting ways with defensive tackle Earl Mitchell. The release of Williams, not a big surprise, 32 years old, just a sack and a half last year, not far from the guy he was in his Texans and Buffalo heyday. And one last note, the Jaguars also in offseason remake mode. They cut ties with defensive lineman Jared Odrick, who signed a five-year, $42.5 million contract with Jacksonville in 2015. So the 29-year-old will go elsewhere. Jacksonville says goodbye to Jared.
Mario Williams and Revis will have to decide, do they want to keep playing football for like a 700% pay decrease or whatever the number is, you know, 400%, because that's what they're going to have to do. They might just decide, nah.
Well, we know that Mario Williams is 100% plugged in.
I don't know if you are familiar with Jared Odrick's Instagram account, but
no,
he did not look too disturbed when he received the news of his release.
He had an Instagram of him essentially celebrating on the beach.
He had the phone. He was pointing at it with a smile, and he's in like a bathing suit on some exotic beach in the middle of the Pacific.
Was that kind of like, I'm a happy guy, this isn't going to bother me, or like, I'm happy to get out of Jacksonville?
I think it was more like, I've got no care in the world. Football season's over. Yeah. We'll address this.
Mark, I've made millions in guaranteed money already.
Is that how you anticipate your NFL media career ending? An Instagram photo, you on the beach, a hard body from the Tom Brady diet, and pointing to your Instagram.
I mean, in this case, they wouldn't call me. They wouldn't even do the courtesy of that.
Could have gotten, if it wasn't so rainy this weekend, could have gotten some hot, you know, Sessler bod pics with your family.
Well, unlike Greg's Facebook page from a couple years ago, I don't post shirtless photos of myself on Facebook.
I have never posted it.
Well, they got out there somehow.
Greg got banged on social media a couple years back. I believe it was your father-in-law posted beach shots of you, like paparazzi-like beach shots.
Once I was made aware of it, I immediately deleted it.
Well, that's my point. I pre-position myself for that not to happen.
Let's move to the Bay Area, where Kyle Shanahan, of course, now the head coach of the 49ers. And he, you know, there's been a lot of people tying Kirk Cousins. Of course, their work together in D.C. that perhaps that this would be a perfect match if the Niners wanted to make a hard run if Cousins became available. But that's kind of pie in the sky stuff, and Kyle Shanahan confirmed that in an interview with CSN Bay Area. You're not trying to commit everything to 1 year, Shanahan explained. Yes, you want to win right away. That's the goal of everybody, but you don't want to do that at the expense of hurting your future. You don't want to gamble. You want to be aggressive in everything, but you got to do what's right. You have to build your team the right way, and that's what I mean by being patient. Chris Wessling, you wrote the piece on Around the NFL. He's got the big, juicy contract. He has the ability to stay patient, right?
Well, I think he understands they're not a veteran quarterback away from contending. This is one of the worst rosters in the NFL. And like you said, he's got 6 years. That's a wide berth to institute a rebuilding project. And we've seen NFL insiders have been circling Kirk Cousins like sharks with chum being thrown from the boat, waiting for something to happen with this guy. And maybe
– just filling airtime.
Kirk Cousins has – he's not going to sign – he's not going to negotiate his long-term deal until after they place the franchise tag on him. That's what he's come out and said. So he's going to get $44 million over 2 years, $43 million over 2 years. There's only 23 players in the history of the NFL who've ever made $100 million in a career. Kirk Cousins has a chance to be part of that group.
Oh, it's going to happen, barring an injury, because he'll make that money this year. He'll get it next year, whether it's from San Francisco or someone else. Kyle Shanahan, I think the 49ers are one of the prime teams, though, and I'm not breaking any news here, to watch out for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, you don't break news. I break the news.
I thought you were going to say to watch out for Kirk Cousins in 2018.
Maybe.
Wait, I didn't even call for this, but it happened.
For the truth, go to the Zeus. Get him. Zeuser in the morning.
Holy hell.
Yeah. That drop's worth it just to watch Mark's face as it's on. Genuine,
Mark, listen.
Genuine discomfort.
I hit a home run at the Super Bowl, got the big scoop. You can do it too.
Here's all I'd say. Is that if you're calling yourself some sort of Woodward and Bernstein, those guys went piece by piece with the case until it ultimately was cracked. This Jersey case has gone on and on, and now it's going
served
down new avenues. You got to keep breaking the news. You got to keep breaking it to be a
newsbreaker. I am following the story closely. If you're reading the end around, I'm all over it. Now, am I going to continue to break every avenue this
morning? I mean, if we're going to continue to play that would be appropriate.
I have breaking news coming. It's coming.
Okay.
I promised it last week.
I think that you would owe the podcast listeners more breaking news to continue with that sound drop.
I have a feeling that drop's going to hang around just because of how much it angers you.
Well, it's I just think that there's a juxtaposition in logic in playing
sure,
it
sure.
When, you know, at this point we're 3 weeks removed from that news being broken.
Well,
good for you!
That's what we're heading toward, I think, with this drop.
I am more annoyed a little bit with this. There is all this patience around Kyle Shanahan all of a sudden, and it's like this is really nice, but this honeymoon is going to come crashing to an end. I feel like, in a way,
wow.
I'm not saying he won't be successful, but I can think of a team a year ago that was saying we might get a quarterback, we might not. They're a terrible team, and we might pass on a quarterback at number two and treat it completely differently. I mean, I understand that Kyle Shanahan is the bell of the ball right now.
Can you give him a chance?
Wait, what do you mean treat it differently? The Browns could not have been more positively reviewed.
I just think he's sort of saying everything. You want to be aggressive. You don't want to commit. You want to commit. It's like, we get it, Kyle Shanahan. It's like, what you're saying a little bit is, I don't know if we're going to get our quarterback,
sure.
And I have to PR that angle because that might be what happens.
Yeah.
We might not get Cousins. We might not get Jimmy Garoppolo. We might not want to draft anyone at number two, and we might go into the season with nothing at quarterback. Everyone be prepared for that.
Yeah.
Right. The difference is Kyle Shanahan has yet to even get a chance at free agency or the draft. The Browns went through the draft and decided they didn't want Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big difference.
I just
Kyle Shanahan
think,
hasn't
like,
had a chance to do before
that. Before we just crown Kyle Shanahan with everything in the NFL, I want to just see it happen. I think Niners fans want to see it happen, too.
I think Mark's fired up at ATN Media Insider, and Kyle Shanahan just got the blowtorch because of it.
That might be true. But I believe what I just said. I do think that is a media group up there. Like the reporters in San Francisco are exhausted with what that team's done. This is a nice fresh start, but the honeymoon's not going to last long if they're suddenly 1-9 and they're telling us about how patience and it doesn't work in any city.
Mm. That could be another role for you, Sessler take insider Dan Hansis. He breaks through and tells you what was really going on.
All right.
Behind the table.
What was really going on is what I said.
If I can't break more news, I'll have to transition into Sessler taking
some. Yeah, right.
Finally.
Trope alert. Trope alert. Trope alert. Trope alert. Trope alert.
Yes. It's that time of year, folks. We're starting to head into the point of the NFL calendar where everything is hunky-dory at all 32 teams. Nothing possibly could go wrong, and everything and every move that was made is working like gangbusters. Moves like the decision by Jim Irsay to hire Chris Ballard as the team's GM to replace the late Well, he's, I mean, he didn't die.
Yeah, that's
Ryan Grigson.
That would be breaking news.
Yeah, the former GM of the Colts, Ryan Grigson. And a big problem, of course, in the dynamic between Grigson and Pagano was that they didn't get along. And that was very public fodder. It was a soap opera. But Irsay tweeted on Sunday that GM Chris Ballard and Chuck Pagano are, quote, clicking on all cylinders. Every cylinder.
Triple alert.
Click.
Triple alert.
Click. Click.
Triple alert.
And when you're clicking on all cylinders, Mark, I don't know if you know about cars. I'm kind of a big-time car guy. I get under that hood, and I, you know, plug those spark plugs, and then I twist the engine nugs, and I use the wrench.
What's an engine nugget?
To use the wrench to make the motor faster. And when those cylinders are all going together,
sure,
top performance.
I mean, I think I'm probably three or four in car guy category in this room. I'd put
not a lot of common four. Men.
We don't have a car
comes,
guy in this
when
room.
When it comes to car
we're
guys.
Missing a car guy. So we're also we're missing a car guy in this room.
I mean, but are we?
No, yeah. We're also missing a directional guy.
Oh, we are the worst with directions.
If we go to a league event and we have to navigate in a city, when Greg is the one leading the way, which means that, there's at least two wrong turns, and that's not a shot at you. You're the best of the group.
You're the best.
And, I just don't mind being wrong every time.
Patra.
I'll just be like, all right, I'll be the one.
Patra showed some actual promise in the
direction. Oh, Patra, that could work.
Let's make sure we get Patra at every league event going forward, just to make sure we can get from point A to point B. Anyway, so yeah. Everything is going beautifully in Indianapolis, and the owner of the Colts wants you to know that. All right, that's what's happening in the news. That's the first of – Wes, that's the first of many tropes to come. You know that.
It's a trope-filled offseason.
All right. So,
Mark will be writing an article on each one of those tropes.
Oh, no, I will not.
Greg gained great fame earlier today with a piece he wrote on NFL.com about free agency. And I like the way you put it in your headline, Greg, a fun player edition. Yeah, you're like, this is just the right amount of looseness for my column here. Hey, don't take me too seriously here, guys. We're just having fun.
Hey, there's an extra week now before the combine. We gotta write some stuff. Let's have a little fun, play matchmaker.
Just frolicking in the park.
We're just having a little fun here.
Yeah.
And that's the one that gets nationally broadcast. All the like the hard work, research post, driven post you've written in the past 5 years here at NFL Media, that's the one that goes national. Go figure.
I'm not going to complain, you know. When I learned a lot of people watch First Take. That was a surprise. Or at least have it on with the sound off.
Yeah.
Block them. Block those people from your life.
That's true. All right, so let's go around the room here. Greg wrote a whole bunch of them, which you could check out on NFL.com, and I'm sure he'll be sharing one of them that are on the list. So why don't we start with you, Greg?
Okay.
Mix things up a little bit. If you would care to share a fun player edition from either the AFC or the NFC, anything that makes your engine nugs really rotate.
Well, I was trying to think of the right.
That's car talk.
An engine nugget.
Go ahead.
I was trying to think of the right spot for Jason Pierre-Paul. You know, I tried to sign out, you know, most of these big-name free agents. Who really needs a pass? Everyone needs a pass rusher. There's no pass rushers available. But there was one coach recently saying a pass rusher is a must this offseason. Sean Payton. There is one coach in GM who now feel a little uncomfortable because the 7-9 bullshit crown has gone from Los Angeles, and it's in New Orleans. 7-9, three straight years.
Isn't it weird that I already forgot his name. Jeff Fisher was the guy that got destroyed for that. And you know, after the Hard Knocks thing, it made sense. But it was truly Sean Payton who should be the guy that gets that 7-9 BS tag.
Three straight years. This feels really like a do or die. They have to win. And this is a team that is not afraid to act a little desperate in free agency. Any season. I mean, they're the ones who signed Jairus Byrd.
Jairus Byrd.
They'll bring in guys. They've had a lot of misfires over the last few years. This year, they actually have some cap room for once. They got $30 million in cap room. They need the defensive end. And you could just see them spending a little too much. But Pierre-Paul's a good player. I wouldn't knock him for it. They really need it badly. Also, I like the name Pierre-Paul. This is where the fun comes in. The name Pierre-Paul in New Orleans, it just sort of works.
Now that is great fun.
It works.
Can they possibly pull it off when their general manager spends 92% of his time running the Pelicans?
They ought to melt.
I do like that angle you got. Huh? You've been pushing that for multiple years.
Well, it's obnoxious.
And maybe it does play a role in the fact that they can't get
Split your time in half. We're an NBA team and an NFL team. See how that goes for you.
You know, they just brought in Boogie Cousins to the Pelicans.
That was actually
NBA knowledge for Mickey Loomis. Now you get Jason Pierre-Paul.
NBA media insider Greg Rosenthal. NBA NFL media insider Greg Rosenthal. That was a complete steal by the Pelicans to get Cousins from Sacramento, Mark. So maybe
that's
maybe
probably when Loomis
done.
Was focusing on the Saints.
They ought to melt that one Lombardi trophy they have, fashion it into a shopping cart, and kick it back and forth between them and the Miami Dolphins to decide who wins the offseason championship every year.
Oh.
Because neither of them are competing with the way they approach free agency.
Jarris Bird is hurt right now.
Wow. It's just... That's cruel. Saints, you know, don't feel bad. Too bad for them. Saints fans are enjoying this Falcons loss like their team won the Super Bowl.
It's addictive.
I think that says something about your fan base when you get all your pleasure from the pain of another franchise.
It shows you're vindictive, and it's a great rivalry. I've always said so.
I will now throw a player out there. And actually, Greg, I did not see this before making this connection.
Nice.
But you and I are on the same page with this. Eddie Lacy. The Green Bay Packers. Now, I know the Packers parted ways with James Starks, and it potentially clears the path for a reunion in Green Bay with Eddie Lacy. But he's also, because of his injuries and some of the conditioning issues, and his value is a little depressed right now. So I don't think you need to, like, go crazy. You could overpay him a little bit without breaking the bank and get him out of Green Bay, because I feel like Ted Thompson isn't going to fight too hard to keep Eddie Lacy, in my opinion. So now I think about where would Eddie Lacy be a fit. And I've talked about this. It happened in 2007 with Randy Moss. It happened with Chris Hogan last year. I can name 100 other times where, and many, you don't have to be a Jets fan. You could be an AFC fan where the Patriots make one move every offseason and you think to yourself, fuck, that's a perfect fit. And there's no way that guy's not going to be great. And I think Eddie Lacy on the New England Patriots next year makes a lot of sense. And LeGarrette Blount had, I think, 18 touchdowns last year, which is excellent. But is anybody really scared of LeGarrette Blount? Is he somebody you have to game plan around? Like, I could see them getting younger, getting Lacy, who's a more dynamic version of Blount. And he plugs in right there. And he also has double-digit touchdowns, only he does it in a way that makes their offense much better, whereas Blount is kind of a between-the-tackles grinder. Hate the idea of it, but I could see it happen. It's not fun to me, Greg!
I think it sounds fun. And he'd be the same age as LeGarrette Blount was when he first arrived in New England. Mm-hmm.
Greg, do you think that they are going to – they'll prioritize on any level bringing Blount back, or is he gone? He says he wants to go back to New England, but –
No, it depends what you mean by prioritize. I think they'll offer a they'll have a number for him. It'd probably be like 2 years, $5 million total, which is not much. And if he wants to go somewhere else, they'll
because Lacy
let
gives
him.
You the same thing, and he's younger.
They'll wait it out. I don't anticipate that they would make running back their first priority. So if Blount wants to sign a contract in the first day or two, then he'll be elsewhere.
This is like the Facebook movie. Dan thinks $1 million is cool. $1 billion is cool. You want to get the other fan bases in the AFC all hacked off,
oh, no.
Dropping F-bombs. Forget Eddie Lacy. Patriots are signing Adrian Peterson.
Wow. A fun free agent fit top in a big spot.
I feel like Eddie Lacy would scare me more than Adrian Peterson in 2017?
I don't know. Eddie Lacy was even fatter by the end of last year than he was the year before. I don't know why Eddie Lacy would scare anybody right now, but Adrian Peterson, here's what the Patriots do when the rest of the league zigs, they zag. And Bill Belichick has said one of the reasons they always draft late in the first round, so that what they have to do is become an outlier. And we've heard for the last 3 weeks that no general manager is going to pay Adrian Peterson this offseason. And I don't think they will. I think the Patriots can get him on a one-year, $5 million deal or something like that. And we've seen this act before.
That would lead to an F as well.
Corey Dillon rushed for 1,700 yards almost when New England basically parachuted him out of Cincinnati in an awful Bengals organization, installed him as their lead back. And I know James White and Deion Lewis are going to play on passing downs, but LeGarrette Blount rushed 300 times and had 18 touchdowns in a regular season. Mm. The Patriots don't want Tom Brady throwing as much now as he did 3 or 4 years ago where he carried the offense. They ran the ball almost 50% of the time last year.
And if you're Peterson, what a way to go out because there aren't that many more years. And I know that does not make Dan happy, but it's the Patriots can pay less for players because of what the other side of it is.
Peterson and Lacy, I guess to a lesser extent, makes sense to me because the Patriots, what Belichick does well is he focuses on what you can do. He's not worried about what Peterson can't do. He's not going to act. He's not worried about the passing downs for Peterson. He's not worried about how he's going to go out. Like, they've got people for that. It's the same thing with Blunt. Blunt's a limited player, but he does what he does well.
He scored 18 touchdowns. How many could Peterson score?
Right. Lacy and Peterson, you know, even more, are kind of like that. They're not a complete players, but they wouldn't need to be in New
York. My counter to this is that the Patriots are smart, obviously. There's a reason why it's not just Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, the way they've built the team. And I have the feeling that Peterson is going to get overpaid by someone in this offseason, someone that will buy in, that has a lot of money to spend and will buy into this idea that he's still Adrian Peterson. And I don't think the Patriots are going to overpay to get Adrian Peterson in the building at age 32. And I think that's why he'll end up. I would even put a sandwich on that.
I agree. My whole idea is based on the fact that the rest of the league, the other 31 teams, do not want to pay Adrian
Peterson. Who is going to pay him? I could see the Bucks have been the one team.
Because he mentioned the Bucks too.
Yeah, it's partly because he mentioned them. And actually, if you go back.
And the Giants too.
He did mention the Giants too. If you go back and watch a video where Peterson is talking with his agent during his big standoff with the Vikings 2 years ago, his agent is wearing a Buccaneers hat, which seemed like a very transparent move. Like, hey, we can get some money from that. And I think he fits their offense well. I just think he fits what Dirk Cutter would like.
One of those beat writers in Tampa Bay said recently they did not expect Doug Martin to be cut.
Finally, we shall see. Mark Sessler. Give us something fun.
All right, well, so it's all New England gets better by adding Adrian Peterson or Eddie Lacy or both and seven other players, and they go, right, how about this? We talk about the New York Jets, the team that everyone just presumes will just sit in the basement. and we acknowledge they might be in a little bit of a rebuild.
A little bit.
Why not make this season totally bizarre and strange for the Jets fans? You cut Revis, you cut some other junk players on that team, you got some money to spend, you go out, none of these guys are going to break the bank, at least most of them. Here's what you do. You sign Kenny Britt.
Oh my God.
Kenny Stills.
No.
Kendall Wright. And then you sign Brandon Myers.
Yeah.
Brandon Marshall. You bring him back, whatever. Is he under contract?
Yeah, he
you bring
is.
Him back. You keep him on the roster. Wait. You get Brandon LaFell. You get Brandon Tate, and you take Brandon Bolden away from the Patriots. He's a free agent. And then you just line up your offense with Kenny's all over the field and Brandon's all over the field. And the Patriots in week one are like, I got Kenny. Which Kenny? That Kenny. There's three Kennys. No one knows what's going on. I got Brandon. He's in the backfield. But there's four other Brandons spread out in the formation. And the Jets have – it's the K-Brand kids offense. You just send defenses into total hyper-confusion. And you score at least two extra touchdowns a game by keeping the defense in absolute – they're commystified.
I love
it. The guy is drunk.
I
they
love it.
They don't cost you that much money.
It's stupid and insane, but it would be potentially fun. And Jets fans are not going to have a lot of fun next year unless we sign every Brandon and every Ken in the business.
And you don't need
Feels
to
like
worry
not a lot
about
of snaps left for Eric Decker and Quincy Enunwa, but
we'll work them in.
What if they change their name? Kenny Decker.
I was surprised to see Brandon Myers so heavily involved in this.
I'll agree to this on one condition, that at week one halftime, Ring of Honor, Ken O'Brien.
Oh,
go. See, with Kenny Albert announcing the game.
All right. That was fun. I had fun there.
I had fun. Ring of Honor, Ken O'Brien would be, you know, the most desperate move since they gave Shane Graham a one-day contract in Cincinnati on Tuesday.
Which was the most desperate move since the Jaguars gave Paul Spicer a one-day.
Oh.
Spicy.
That's the one-day contract Hall of Fame, Paul Spicer.
Was that the one where they had the marching band in the room?
No. Wait, are you thinking of Jordan Gross?
Oh, I'm thinking of Grossy.
You got in trouble with Panthers fans on that one.
Gross
blew
gross
that out. They blew that out.
That was a gross out. All right, finally, let's talk a little bit little Tony Romo talk.
I mixed a cupcake and a brownie. I'm calling it a crownie.
Tony Romo is most likely going to be a free agent, in case you haven't heard, but he could also be traded. So Chris Wessling took all the information he had at his fingertips, and he looked back into the history of the NFL and also looked into the future. He went in all directions, the time-space continuum, to bring us a piece as I look for it in my papers. Headline, ranking the potential landing spots for Tony Romo. And Wes, you brought up a, I thought, a really solid comparison. Not that it's exactly apples to apples, but after Brett Favre and the Packers had their breakup, and Brett Favre and the Packers and Tony Romo and the Cowboys, both are completely synonymous with each other, and it was not easy to get Brett Favre out of Green Bay, but they did it, but it was a messy ending to the end of his tenure, and maybe that happens with Romo too.
There are some similarities. They're about the same age. People forget that if Brett Favre had not torn his biceps and played through that injury at the end of the year and basically sabotaged the Jets season, they were a legitimate threat for the Super Bowl that year.
8-3 after beating the Patriots without Tom Brady out for the season with an ACL. Called my dad after the game. I said, Dad, this is it. We're going to do it. And then he had that secret biceps injury. That
which he played through, and he played terribly through it. I don't know if you give him credit for that, but
it, I thought it was a little selfish.
They weren't going to – it's not like Kellen Clemens was going to take them
to
the promise.
Selfish. It's up to them to bench him. It's not his fault. He wants to keep playing. Okay.
Yeah. Brett Favre, he was a team-first guy all the way in his career.
The comparison I made
set you up for that.
Was because there was a lot of back-channel maneuvering. Brett Favre wanted to go to the Vikings. The Packers wouldn't let him. So he said, I want to go to the Lions. They're not going to compete with you atop the AFC North or NFC North. Packers wouldn't let him go there. It was either the Jets or the Bucks. Favre wanted to go to the Bucks. The Packers said, no. We like the Jets package better. Bus Cook, Favre's agent, called Mike Tannenbaum, who was the Jets general manager at the time, said, you're making a big mistake. This wasn't smart at all. Favre's not coming to New York. And to Tannenbaum's credit, he went through with it anyway and forced the trade to happen. I'm not saying the relationship between Romo and the Cowboys are that contentious, but if you're looking for a reason why a trade would happen instead of a release, all of these last-minute surprises or back-channel maneuvering between agents and teams, who knows what could happen between now and March 9th?
I agree, and yet I don't see the team that's gonna like it. Basically would be all the teams sort of have to call the Cowboys bluff and just wait for them to release him, and I don't see the team that's gonna jump off of that,
well, that
and be like, actually we will give you
that
a
would be the
round
comparison
pick.
That no one saw the Jets as a team that was going for Favre. They had Pennington at the time.
The Chiefs are the team to me, I think, that make the most sense to just come out of nowhere as a surprise. But, you know, you got to make sure you close that deal and you get rid of Alex Smith. It's a whole thing.
So, looking at Wes's list, you had – let's start there. Number three, right in the middle of the list here. You have the Chiefs as – so, would this be – that would make them the third most likely destination? Is that the way to look at this? Where the Chiefs, who have Alex Smith in the building, everything we're hearing, Wes, about the Chiefs is that they're comfortable with Alex Smith. They still think he's the guy, but still – this is a special situation.
Something isn't adding up, and maybe it's Andy Reid's history of bold-faced lying when it comes to quarterbacks. To go in front of press conference and say McNabb's my guy and then go with Vic, or to say Cobb's my guy and go with Vic, or to say this and then trade guys. Andy Reid has lied consistently about his quarterback situation.
White lies.
And he has come out and said, there is no question Alex Smith is my starting quarterback. He has doubled down
right
on
now.
That.
It's true right now.
And John Dorsey has come out and said, Alex Smith is our starter. But every single NFL insider is lining up to put Romo and the Chiefs as a marriage that could happen. And I think most of it probably is coming from Romo's list that is circulating, that the Texans, Broncos, and Chiefs, and the Cardinals were on his list. Those four teams have always been on his list, according to the insiders. I just don't see the Chiefs as a serious candidate. You're going to – 4 years into Andy Reid's offense, Alex Smith has. I think Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers are the only quarterbacks with more wins since 2011. No matter if Smith's ceiling is limited or not, you're going to risk alienating him or cutting him altogether to bring in a guy who's one hit from retirement. I just don't see that adding up.
You said the right word, risk. Of all the teams on this list, it's the Chiefs that would – take a tremendous risk by doing this. And then, of course, Alex Smith gets dispatched somewhere else. And 3 weeks into the season, you're potentially out with it. We can't predict injuries, but Romo has done this time and time again. And it would look awful for that organization to get rid of Smith, have Romo come in and get hurt in August or some practice, and suddenly you've gotten nothing.
That's, I mean, you can say that for any team that brings in Romo, but they wouldn't have the logical.
Not the Bears.
Right, but they
or
wouldn't.
Or the Texans.
Right, they wouldn't have. I'm saying not Romo the, is a massive injury risk for any team. That's
I'm
all
just saying,
I mean.
The risk you, is you getting rid of a guy who's.
That's
who's
what I mean.
Right.
Giving
right.
you the best record in the NFL since week 7 of 2015. The Chiefs have the best record in the NFL with Alex Smith as their quarterback.
Number. Right, but we're playing both sides of the fence a little because we always knock them for not having to sit.
We're not playing both sides of the fence. We're saying in this situation, Romo's too big of a risk. I like the idea of trying to upgrade on Alex Smith, but a guy who's one hit away from retirement isn't the upgrade.
All right, let's move to number two on Wes's list, and this is the team you've heard Romo connected to the most, and really going back to last year when Dak Prescott was locked in as the starter, the Denver Broncos. Because we know that they have history with this type of situation. An older quarterback, and Peyton Manning in the case of a 2015 season, being a part of a loaded defense, team with a loaded defense and taking them to the promised land. This one checks a lot of boxes, Mark. Why wouldn't it happen?
I think because it doesn't have to with Denver. People that watch Trevor Siemian versus just the name Trevor Siemian – like his game and see there's a reason to stick around there with him. And you've got Paxton Lynch, who's a first-round quarterback waiting in the wings. You don't have to chase Romo or a veteran in general the way that they semi-courted Colin Kaepernick last year when there was literally nothing at the position.
Well, here's my counter to that is that you know Romo, if he's healthy, would be a huge lift to that offense. Whereas Siemian, a guy that showed some promise, and Lynch, who's a total mystery at this point, every team has Super Bowl windows that are only so large. They have a big window right now to go into.
I think it makes sense. It's just that's why it wouldn't happen because it doesn't have to. But, yeah, if you want to plug Romo into that, what that still would still have
that's
on
an
defense.
Exciting
thought. And it's also a different offense. So it's Trevor Siemian in a different offense. It's Paxton Lynch learning a new offense. You know, I don't know if Tony Romo, if they think he's a great fit for that or not. I think it makes a lot of sense. They would be number one on my list, partly because they don't need him, because they don't have to do it quickly, that they can wait this thing out. It might take a little bit of time, and they don't have a lot of money at quarterback, and that's the difference between them and Houston, which you have number one. They just don't, you know, they're not already paying a quarterback. It's nice for them that they're fine as they are, and they could easily fit Romo in there, I think, if they needed to. And if it dragged on for a while, whether it's a trade or release and everything, we know he wants to go there.
I think everyone's trying to figure out why John Elway isn't gung-ho about Tony Romo. And I think John Elway watched his offensive line last year.
That's
a recipe for disaster, putting Tony Romo behind that offensive line. And I honestly think John Elway – he likes not having to pay a quarterback. He's built his roster now where he pays his defense instead of his quarterback.
It's a good point because Tony Romo
could, I don't know. He was ready to pay Brock $16 million. I think you'll pay him if you get the right guy.
Tony Romo could not stay healthy behind the best offensive line in the league, and then you would put him in what, maybe a bottom 10, bottom 15 offensive
line? Bottom 5 offensive line last year.
To see what happens. And, you know, I think the Houston Texans, yeah, you have them at number one here, Wes. And they, if you want to make the analogy with the Brett Favre situation, they're the Minnesota Vikings.
Absolutely.
Because Jared Jones does not want Tony Romo to stay in Texas and go to – now the
I
Texans,
think that's a little overplayed.
I think
he'd much rather have Brock or Tony Romo in Houston than in the NFC.
I don't know with Jera.
That's the one organization and the one owner where I wonder if that's true. I mean, he doesn't want them sitting in the – he doesn't want them going to the NFC East or a team that's truly a competitor. I get that.
The Texans aren't even like Dallas's competition.
No, but
they
would
Cowboys
be, they
are
would
in a whole
be,
different league than the they, Texans but they, as far as Texas fandom
they
is
They would
concerned.
Be inside of Texas if Romo suddenly went – that's a huge
storyline.
What if
they're in the Super Bowl? If Tony Romo and their
Jerry Jones would be
away.
Happy for Tony Romo.
Oh, I think Jerry Jones behind closed doors would be furious.
I think Jerry Jones really likes Tony Romo, and I really think he doesn't want him in the NFC.
I don't know if it's the Houston thing, but it's also when you hear these reports, like, it would be a quick commute, and it'd be great for Tony Romo. Like, yeah, that's great for Tony Romo. Tony Romo isn't necessarily choosing his destination. We know this is coming from Tony Romo. Does Bob McNair, who just is literally paying Brock Osweiler $16 million in cash this year, no matter what, is he trusting the decision makers who just were part of that decision to bring in Osweiler? Okay, go pay another 15 or 16. People are acting like fitting that all under the cap is easy. Okay, make it an incentive.
I think Tony Romo's made enough money where he's reached reached the point in his life where he's only playing for a championship. I think you can get him to accept $8 or $9 million or whatever.
There's been talk from you know, the insiders and whatnot that he wants a raise. He wants more money. I don't think he's taking a dot. I don't think he's
taking
any discount.
Well, this is the end
discount
for Tony Romo. This is your last couple chances to make money.
And that's
you have to have a priority. What is your priority? Winning a championship or make money? I think if it's make money, then you can't take the position that you don't want to play for the Bears or Bills or rebuilding team.
Right.
The counter to that is he probably thinks he could do both. He probably thinks he can make money and pick a contender or get to a
contender. Maybe we have no idea. We're obviously just guessing. I don't know how Bob McNair and Rick Smith, but especially Bob McNair, feels about that. It's just an extraordinary example that you can't find really another that ever happened in NFL history, that they're paying two guys at the exact same position top level money.
I don't expect them to pay Romo top level money.
He's starting, he's making $15 million. He plays all 16 games.
Even if he doesn't change his salary, he's one of the lowest paid starting quarterbacks in the NFL. And also, you haven't seen this in history because the NFL salary cap has never been $168 million.
They're a little tighter to the cap than – that's one advantage Denver and I guess, you know, Buffalo and other teams have is the Texans are a little tighter to the cap even despite – you know, even if you ignore that Osweiler's getting all that money.
By the way, Dan, it was only about 82 days ago that Greg released his Tony Romo's post Cowboys landing spots. Now Wes has one in the books. Mm. That means that this drags on.
I like you printing
you and I, you and I will be next. One of us will be writing the next version of this.
It's going to be happening. And it is, speaking of Tony Romo, Mark, you said all the things you were excited about to cover this offseason. And you pointed out that Tony Romo, you were not excited, I think was the wording that was written. So this segment has probably been pretty tough on you.
No, I think this was handled with class. And I think I'll tell you what else. If he goes to a team that makes a boring team exciting, that's good for everyone. I don't want it to be this. There's ways it could be very tedious. The way they covered Tony Romo breathlessly from the sideline during every Cowboys game last season, that's what tired
I'm over
me
that
out.
I'm over that as well. Wes, you could check out Wes's piece at NFL.com/Wessling if you want to see the whole list. Is there anything else you wanted to add, Wes, that we haven't touched on before we go?
Despite Greg's efforts to the contrary, I'm kind of
– I love that qualifier. Go.
I'm kind of excited about the state of quarterback play in the NFL. You know, Greg's trying to get Nick Foles and Mike Glennon jobs. I'm trying to get Tony Romo and Jimmy Garoppolo jobs after they didn't start
really out on a limb. Of course they're having jobs.
The point is –
hate to see this, Mark.
You take those two, and then you throw in Jay Cutler as one of the top 30 quarterbacks in the NFL. Three guys who didn't start last year. You throw them onto new teams.
30?
Maybe we'll see.
He's 25 in your piece. He dropped five spots? Cutler?
Yeah, I can't stomach him in the top 25.
Dropped five spots since. What's today? Today's the 21st. You wrote this on the 20th.
He's dropped.
Where will he be a month from now?
I wonder.
Probably in the ground. League.
Tyrod, too. Tyrod could be changing. I mean, you're not adding him to the mix, but I think he could be changing. I still think the Bills have a better chance than people think for Romo.
That would be so depressing.
I put their chances at 0.0. It's a blue card.
Well, then the Jets are truly in the netherworld.
No. So you think only three teams even have a chance? Because you
I don't
them
think
fourth.
Romo's going anywhere whether you're not a contender, and I don't think the Bills are close to being a contender.
I hate the idea of watching Tony Romo on a cold early October day in Western New York, lying on the turf, writhing for a 2-6 Bills team.
You're Tony Romo. You've got
writhing Tony Romo has been his number one move the last.
You
two
got
years.
One or two years left in the NFL, and you're going to purposely go to the Patriots division? No.
My thought is we don't. There's many different possibilities here. Don't you think one of them is that Tony Romo doesn't really have many options
that he has
to choose between bad options.
No, because I think that retirement is a much preferable
maybe
option.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think that gives him a trump card.
You never go full Rex, which is you have the choice to get out of Tom Brady's division and you stay in.
That's
you. You don't go. All right, before we go, let's check behind the glass and check in with Kevin Danger Hansis, and we've been speculating where will Tony Romo end up, but now Kevin Hansis behind the glass will give us the definitive answer where Romo will play football, if at all, in 2017. Let's get a little timpani drum here.
Kevin, in 2017,
Danger. There you go.
Tony Romo will play.
Wait, hold.
for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Wow. Wow. I love it.
Whoa. That is a shocker.
That is fascinating.
Wow. How about that?
Talk about the team. Put us over the top, 100% Tony
sure.
Romo.
Danger, you're 100% sure of this.
With great confidence, I can say, once again.
Why? Everyone's going to think you actually talk like that. That's fine.
No, I can say with 100% confidence that Tony Romo will play for the Cincinnati Bengals.
I'm looking forward to that.
You want
to
put a sandwich on that?
I'm going to put a sandwich on that.
Okay. What's it like to live in a world where there are no repercussions?
I'm looking forward to the Romo-Dalton Bengals-Browns matchup this year. That'll be good.
Oh, Dalton starting for the Browns?
Oh, yeah, of course. He was going to bring him over. Why not?
There's a little trickle-down effect.
Absolutely.
Wow.
There you go. All right.
That was quite a bold prediction that actually would be fascinating and makes sense. And if he gets it right, none of us in this room ever write a landing spots column ever again. We just send it right to Danger.
No, we just set up a studio in Kevin's Brooklyn apartment, and he does the show from now on.
I love that Mark has found logic in Danger's prediction.
I think it's why not? Talk about a team that needs. Why not? They could say we get Tony Romo. It puts this Bengals team that's always on the fringe right over the top.
How about, and Andy Dalton is such a nice guy. He won't pout about it. I say you keep him there as your backup. Romo's there. Let's say Romo stays healthy. You're flying to the Super Bowl in Minneapolis. And if he doesn't stay healthy, you got old. They got the glowing ginger man coming off the bench, and you'll lose a playoff game in January, but you still have a nice season.
So we're talking ourselves into this.
Wow.
Hey.
Kevin said it
with a lot of confidence.
Hey, let's not point out that Tony Romo's barely been able to stay on the field for two straight years, while Andy Dalton's been
God
a top 10 quarterback.
That he lands somewhere that no one predicted around here.
Well,
it's
they
very
do
possible.
Have, they do have a lot of cap room. And they have an owner who's been known to do some unusual things.
Danger had a premonition, and we'll see if it plays out. All right, that's Tuesday's show. We'll be back on Thursday with another all new edition of the Around the NFL podcast. And again, check us out. We'll be on NFL Network on Wednesday, and
on Thursday,
and Friday as well. Correct. So up to the minute, live. Set your DVRs. Thank you to everyone for listening. That's it. Signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman, the old boss, the new money behind the glass. It's the old Zeuser. Till Thursday.